And we had a lot of people in Nebraska, a lot of good, wealthy people fighting us, right? That didn't work. But those wealthy people aren't so unhappy now because the stock market's gone up so much because of us that those wealthy people just got wealthier, right?
And President-elect Donald Trump is right. America is getting richer. How much richer? How about $1 trillion? That's how much market cap the S&P 500 has gained since the election, a staggering number. Stop me if you heard this before. The Dow, NASDAQ, S&P, and Russell closing at record highs. The Dow is just a mere 250 points away from the huge Dow 20,000 milestone. Will it come next week? What will take us there? And what can you still buy in this historic rally? Guy, what do you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, what's that, a percent and a half away now? And again, I'm not pretending I'm some raging bull, but I'm not. And it's somewhat disingenuous of President-elect Trump to say that the rally is all because of him. I mean, this market's been rallying for the last 8 years, respectfully, but the banks have been a real driver, and the banks are the ones that are going to probably continue to go higher, not because I necessarily believe it, because what I think is happening here is people are saying, what's price to book in these banks? Where were they in 2007? They're not going to get to those levels. Goldman Sachs at 2.5 times price to book, but Goldman Sachs at 1.75, 1.8 times price to book makes it a $305 stock, and I think that's what's going on.
It feels like everything's priced to perfection right now. I mean, we're paying for
it. Would you have said that last week?
I would have said it last week.
Right.
But here's what I'll say.
Here we are.
We're talking about drifting higher, right? We're drifting higher for one reason and one reason only, or maybe a few reasons. But I'd say this repositioning trade is massive. I mean, it can go a lot further than you expect, right? I do believe it's a sell at the beginning of the year. I just can't see us sustaining these levels. It doesn't.
What's going to sell the market off?
GDP going
to 4 or 5%?
Yeah,
the
I mean,
The Fed. No one even cares about the Fed. No one cares about the Fed. When was the last time?
The market absolutely cares.
Doesn't care.
Well, we've got the Fed next week, so we'll see.
The rates rose around the Fed.
All of you guys are arguing at the same time. Tim, talk.
I'm not talking when he's talking.
The Fed has been clearly a sideshow to elections and obviously to a story where business confidence, look at the confidence numbers out today, consumer confidence, a tenth of a point off the high since 2004. So, yes, we know that the market is very euphoric, as David is saying, except for the fact that if businesses continue to spend and GDP gets upgraded, and very smart economists on the street, guys like Joe Lavorgna, have gone from being very cautious to being very optimistic on next year based upon fundamental fiscal change in our economy. So what do you buy? You buy the reflation trades and the things that have been working all along. Ag is starting to rip. If you look at what we have here in the commodity space and what we have in the mining space and what we have in the autos, I mean, look at GM. That's where you get valuation and you also get industrial.
This is 100% because of Trump, without question. There's no way. The market did nothing. It grinded sideways, basically, for an extended period of time. This is because this is the first time we're looking at pro-growth policies. This is the first time we're looking at GDP increasing global with the effects of the United States. This is a huge boon for business. That's why we ran.
Let me make a point. It's going to take 12 to 18 months for any of these policies or any of these sort of like
not
fiscal,
the tax policies,
really, not the tax, but other to hit earnings, right, or to really show up in the bottom lines. What if the Fed becomes more hawkish?
Yeah, well,
much more hawkish. Like, so they've been silent.
Matter. The inflation rate moves. The
it doesn't
Fed
matter.
To,
it's
the Fed
sentiment.
Has to catch
it's how
up.
People,
what was, David,
it is
when
how
was the last time,
interpret the
what
Fed
was the
right
last
now.
Time on this desk? This Fed has snuck up on us. Nobody cares
they've
anymore.
Been how quiet has the Fed been?
The rates rose without the Fed. The only thing that I'll give you this. The only thing that I think the Fed will affect are company buybacks. I think that the cost of capital, that will be a big event. The market is factoring in growth.
Inflation expectations are at 12-year highs. In fact, I would argue that they are probably pretty well behind the curve on inflation. And to say that the Fed doesn't matter here to me, I don't think you're saying that, Steve, because if you are saying it, it's an absurd thing to say. That is the most important
Fed
thing.
Doesn't
interest
matter
rates
anymore.
Are the most important
not right
thing
now.
For this
not
market right now.
Now. It's not. It was. It was 2 months ago.
What
it's not
the,
right
what if,
now.
Let me ask you this. What if the Fed comes out next week and in the news conference says something to the effect of, we are open and we have to be open to multiple rate increases next year because we're behind the curve. Effectively, we're behind the curve.
Multiple raises.
Raises.
If now you're talking about multiple raises versus the 25 bips that we've been talking about,
but
they're not going to come out and say
what
that.
Doesn't
the rate
the
rise
on
that we've seen?
What happens if Trump goes after
he's already done that.
No.
He's already done
that. So you think that the market is immune to that?
I think the market
that will have no effect.
I think the market This is about a chase right now. This is about an allocation. We all know that. This is not about valuation. This is about allocation. The market was caught way offsides.
Yes, but the risk here with the Fed is that the Fed is behind the curve now.
I think, Tim, it's interesting what he brings up, because I've tried to bring it up. Maybe I haven't done it correctly enough, but I do think there's a good if they do raise, which I think we're pretty much all in agreement that they will, I think you're going to see some sort of tweet storm from President-elect Trump saying, see, this
they waited.
Rigged system. They waited for me to be named president before they look at the way this whatever adjective you want to throw in. And I think they could throw a monkey wrench at things for sure. I do think that the Fed matters. The reason we're not talking about it is because maybe they are passing the baton from monetary policy to fiscal policy at exact the right time.
Which the Fed welcomes.
Hang on
a second. If the Fed raises and they're behind the curve, does that make people buy more financials or less financials? Because they've been underweight financials. And a large portion of this market ripping higher was financials and energy.
Why is it that higher rates now, when for the first 9 months of this year, people were parading around saying
that the banks
were under credit pressure and, oh, my goodness, the banks actually balance sheets. I totally get it.
But all I'm saying is that
you can't have it both ways.
But you're looking at it in a very perfect 2020 focus. This is about allocation.
Guys, we're underweight, just to be clear. So am I.
George Brett, me and you, the only three guys.
Joey Lau.
So if you look at it right now, guys, we're grossly underweight energy and financials, and they have not caught up yet.
But we look at earnings decelerating. I mean, earnings have decelerated. I mean, if earnings don't pick up, if top-line growth doesn't pick up enough to offset the risks of stock buybacks slowing down, it's a big problem. So that's the risk. I think the Fed is the biggest risk right now to the stock market. I think the Fed is the biggest risk to the stock market, period. There is really nothing else that overhangs it. And the Fed getting more hawkish. And they've
Why
been
has the market
recently,
ripped higher 8.5%
I think you could
from
see the
election
stock market
till now.
Actually
you know what?
Get derailed.
You know what's fascinating to me is that you guys are having a very spirited debate, right? I mean, how many times have I actually had to step in and say, everybody shut up?
Well, I think
not
too
often.
Too much coffee.
Not too often.
I think the bottom line here
is that all you guys think the market's going to drift higher. They were probably going to hit down 20,000.
It doesn't matter.
The point is, it doesn't matter.
Hold on.
Yes. What do you buy now?
You drift the financials
higher.
Drift.
That's the market
you let
we
the
have.
Financials
okay,
drift
fine.
Higher and you
You answered my question, Tim.
Well, first of all, the best week in the markets this week was in Europe. And, in fact, they had their best week in 4 years. And if you think about what's going on right now, the rest of the world is probably the one that gets the benefit of the U.S. economy. Who cares what's going on with trade? If you believe, Steve, if you believe a lot of people, trade will be reworked in a way that's constructive on every front. And I think that's a fair thing to suppose at this point. If you think about saying, so what did I buy today? I bought more Mosaic. I bought more Agrium. I bought more names that, to me, I think have not only lagged the rally, but if we have the kind of inflation, which is good for a lot of these guys, they're going a lot higher.
I bought more spiders. I bought more macro. That's what spiders are, the ETF for the S&P. I bought home builders because you want to look at what's the next domino in the trade. When you look at names that have revenue domestically facing, those are the ones that will be outsized advantage over lower corporate tax.
Name like Honeywell, for example. It's gotten back all that loss that it had a couple months ago when they gave some pretty lousy guidance. That name has now lagged the industrials, which it hasn't done in the last 10 years. So if you're looking for a name that, and I generally don't like doing the catch-up trade, but I think in this case you can with HON.
Well, as the Trump rally rages on, what levels will matter the most? It's been a while since Steve has sauntered over to the smart board, so please do that. And we're going to play a little West Side Story as we walk over there.
Oh.
All right, so let's look at it here. Let's look at the this feels like it was eons ago when you look at this level in the S&P 1991. So let's take it from here. This is the recent high. This is the recent low. And now when you do, everyone knows that I like the Fibonacci retracements. You go from that point to that point, you wind up getting overshoot levels. And that's how you have to look at this. So everyone knows that you go, if you're a Fib guy, you look for your 50 and your 618. That's the biggest overshoot levels that you want to focus in on. That's the sell zone when you trade up higher. It's this level right here, 2248, all the way up to 2261. We spent most of the day right here in the middle. Do you sell the market, or does it have really a lot of torque, the word I like to use, and it does feel like it does have a lot of torque. Maybe you get a little bit of a reversion. I don't think you could say you're going to get a lot of it, but I think you go to those round numbers. Everyone talks about Dow 20,000. Well, you talk about S&P 2,300. That's the next area. If we blow through that area, 2,261, the next one is 2,300.
Wow, we're just a couple points away from that level. Should we invite him over?
Come on over, my man.
How long does it have to be above 2261? Because we're 2 points away from there for you to say, you know, buy up to 2300.
Everyone knows I talk about the three-day rule, so I would go with the same type of thing, three-day rule. But every time you wait for any type of a respite, we're going into year-end. Funds are grossly offsides on their allocation. I don't think you're going to see much of a retracement if you get it.
Yeah. Seabrook, what do you think?
I think the risk-reward here, for me, I mean, from a trading perspective, I think the trade into year-end, you're right, higher. No question about it. But I don't believe in chasing stocks for the sake of chasing stocks if I'm a long-term investor. So I think you got to be very selective here in this tape and be very careful what you're buying within these different subsectors. So it's very stock-specific right now. If you go out there and just chase for the sake of chasing, I think you can run into some serious trouble.
The one I look at, it's actually been a pretty decent indicator, is the Russell, the IWM. So to me, as long as that stays, and it's pretty significantly above that now, but as long as that stays above 131, I think the S&P is just sort of in this levitate mode. And the transports appear as though, and I'd say that, appear as though they broke through what potentially was a double top on the upside.
We almost didn't invite you over.
Oh,
it was really close.
I could have started the weekend right now.
Coming up, the polar vortex is back. And what may be bad news for your weekend plans, it could be good news for a number of stocks. We've got those names after the break. Plus, tech is finally joining in on the Trump rally, and there's one name where traders think could break out to fresh eyes. We've got the stock and the best way to play it. Plus, the chart master is here, and he says Goldman Sachs is priced to perfection. So what should you do now? We got that answer later this hour. Much more Fast Money still ahead. Welcome back. In case you didn't get the memo, it's cold outside as a polar vortex sweeps the nation. But just how cold? Let's go to our weather reporter for the day, Guy Adami, who's at the smart board.
Mel, I got to tell you something. Take a look at my map. I mean, I've always wanted to do this. We're talking about vortexes, polar stuff. We got some clipper systems coming down. Look at Bismarck, North Dakota, Tim. I know you're a fan. -4,
Love a Bismarck.
Check it out. What's going on tomorrow? 5 degrees. That's cold, folks. I encourage you to wear hats and scarves. We have a lot of things going on the national map as well. Here we are in the East Coast. We're going to get this clipper system coming down from the Great Lakes. A lot of lake effect snow for you folks in the Northwood Northeast here in the Syracuse area. Be careful. Burlington, they have a great coat factory there. I encourage you to bundle up as well. But Tallahassee, Florida, in the 30s, man, that is crazy. That's college football season. I don't know what's going on, but look at Duluth. You've seen the commercials. They make great underwear. 0 degrees in Duluth, man. It's nuts. Wear hats, wear gloves, wear your scarves, man. Cold weekend. Bundle up. Wow. I got the trade for you, but, you know, I'm going to throw it back to the desk, Mel.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks, Guy. Yeah. Wow.
I'll tell you what, Lonnie Quinn, you better watch out. Guy Adami's gunning for you.
I don't know. I don't think Al Roker's got anything to worry about right now. But another thing we can here's one thing we can agree on. The cold weather outside could be a major catalyst for parts of the retail sector that kicks off our top trades. Seabrook, you had actually mentioned the aforementioned Burlington Coat Factory last night.
Yeah, Burlington, it's had a massive move. But, I mean, like, cold weather, we talked about it last night very specifically. Cold weather, if you look back, they usually means they're going to hit the top end of the comp range. I'll tell you, Gap Store is a great name to own. I look at Walmart. Walmart's another really strong name to own in cold stores. These are stocks that I would look at buying, you know, to really benefit from the cold weather out there, mall-based stores.
I agree with that, and as you've pointed out, and you did a great job with this last night, comps are easy, but people are staying inside. Polar vortex, you're staying inside and staying away from guys like Guy Adami.
And what
ultimately,
are they doing inside?
Ultimately, this is an Amazon trade. So
well,
guess what?
Right.
It's the holiday season. There's limited shopping days to the end of the year. You're
shopping.
Taking some of, if it's so cold in, was it?
Duluth.
Where's the underwear capital of the world?
Duluth.
So
man.
Duluth, I mean, those people in Duluth obviously are just hunkered in and just staying in the skivvies, and it means you're actually on Amazon and you're ordering a bunch of Christmas presents that, frankly, you would have done
Netflix
in the department stores directly.
I mean,
Amazon runs away from
this. Hold on. Other side of the desk.
The guy had skivvies in college, right?
No, did you have skivvies? What do you mean had?
I would go to the retail space, but I would go to the automotive retail side. So I go O'Reilly Automotive.
Oh.
After you get plows, you get spreaders, sanders, things like that.
Spreaders.
Advanced Auto Parts, AutoZone. And then a name that I always like talking about, Deckers, up 31%. They should actually kill it, you would think, on paper in a world like this.
That's what you wear, right? The Uggs.
Straight. And the Uggs. No, what's that? Think about what you're going to do. Steve talks about this one. You know, it's not a pizza company. It's a technology company.
Domino's. Say you order in?
Domino's.
I won't, but other people
Domino's.
Will. But also, you said it before. Netflix. Look at that at 123.
You want to own in a 123, though? I mean, it has to come back to a trade that you actually stand beside. So do you really believe in Netflix at 123?
I'll stand right beside it there, party boy.
Oh, you like Netflix, right?
Making sure your Doppler radar didn't get to your head. I mean.
The Clipper effect.
Like my hat?
It's mine, by the way.
No, I forgot mine.
So
is a scarf.
Next up, CEO of Coca-Cola, Muhtar Kent, stepping down after an 8-year run as CEO of the beverage company. Will he be replaced? He will be replaced, I should say, by the president and chief operating officer, James Quincy. Since Kent took over the company in 2008, the stock is up 60%, but it's struggled in the past few years as soda sales have continued to drop. And it's been a decades-long drop, Tim. You've owned Coke.
I do. And by the way, I mean, look, as maligned as Coca-Cola is, look at a 5-year chart and a 10-year chart. And I know that doesn't help you over the last couple of years. It's been sideways. But the company and Mr. Quincy, I think I've been slowly preparing this company to get out of a core reliance on the CSD business, the carbonated soft drink industry, and get to a place where actually monster brands, they have a number of other, I think, channels they will continue to grow. They've gotten through essentially refranchising the bottlers. They've cleaned up the balance sheet. I think the company can be a lot more nimble now. I think this is a very important time, but this change has been in the books for 2 years.
70% of its sales are still from soda. And isn't the core of the problem that 70% of sales is from soda, and that's a declining area?
It's declining, but I think, which is one of the reasons Pepsi changed at a premium multiple to Coca-Cola, I think one of the reasons they deserve a premium multiple. And if you want to play the game, not that I'm trying to put words in your mouth, but I'll do that for you now.
All right, fine. Would you rather?
Pepsi over Coke because of the reasons you just mentioned. Although I do think there's probably some upside in Coke. We give them a choice between the two, PEP.
Consumer staple name?
Yeah, no, I like Pepsi over Coke, no question about it. I think Coke's got challenges. They've got a lot of challenges.
I think you go Coke. I mean, if you look at it as the other two have had activists at some point in their names, and this one, when you read anything about it, what's the thing that stands in the way of an activist? Buffett, 9%. Yeah. If Buffett somehow gets out of the way, you start to see maybe an activist run into Coke or start rattling the cage of Coke, and then there's your catch-up trade.
That's a lot of ifs, though.
Isn't Buffett getting out of the way a very difficult time for the stock? I mean, he owns 9% of the company.
I think it depends on how he gets out of the way. Maybe if he starts to rattle some of the cages and does things that he hasn't done, maybe if he starts talking about it. We've never seen him in an activist role, but at a certain point, if your stock is a little bit of a poo-poo name, you start to rattle the cage. It's a family show.
Poopoo name. I thought you were talking about something else.
Coming up, yeah, I don't know. The year-end bonuses are on the rise, and with extra cash in your pockets, the traders have got 4 stocks you should be buying. I'm Melissa Lee. You're watching Fast Money on CNBC, First in Business Worldwide. In the meantime, here's what else is coming up on Fast.
I'm really rich.
And so too are investors as the Trump rally rages on. But if you missed the move, relax. We've got the names you can still buy. Plus, Goldman shares continue to rocket higher, but there's something in the charts that suggests now might be the time to sell. We'll tell you what that is when Fast Money returns.
Welcome back to Fast Money. Time for today's buzzkill. Restoration Hardware plunging 18% after reporting weaker than expected earnings yesterday after the bell. The luxury furniture giant blaming a number of things from delayed catalogs to the presidential election for a rough quarter. Now, Tim, this was your final trade a couple days ago.
Yeah, and I have a position in it. It's not one that's going to kill me. And it's a name that actually I thought about, what should I do today? I don't think anything has really changed. I'm not surprised. This is a company that went from $90 down to 26 because it had problems. I think it's on the mend. A lot of it's been inventory issues. A lot of it's been actually getting their own kind of specialty buyer program off the ground. I think management is more focused. And I'm a big believer in the thematic home improvement trade. This is luxury home improvement. And these guys at this multiple, I think, make some sense. And again, this is a price to sales. The earnings multiple is not that attractive. But again, this is not a day to throw this thing out the window.
Isn't it concerning, though, at the beginning of the year when things were a little bit rocky in the stock market, they said that the volatility in the stock market actually caused people to delay purchases.
Yep.
And then they're giving weak guidance for the fourth quarter already, and we've had a rip in the stock market.
Yeah. Sounds
so
like
when
lowering
is it,
the bar, though.
When do you start believing this management team in terms of their guidance?
I don't know if you have to believe the management team, but one thing you can look at now is you have a monster volume day on a day like today, down, I think, at one point over 20%, closed down 18%. You're talking about a stock with a short interest, probably either side of 50%. So the question now is, how much room is left on the downside? Maybe a little bit more, but any semblance of good news in the form of, I don't know if they do month-over-month comp sales, but anything positive, and a 50% short interest, the stock goes up significantly.
Look, there's no question that they guided down. I mean, the street's lowered numbers. I mean, they're definitely being conservative on that front, but they have to prove themselves, and management's got a lot of stuff going on right now, a lot of restructuring, new store openings, et cetera. So I look at it and say, it's a prove-me story. It's going to take time to fix.
Hoping for a year-end bonus out there, of course you are. It's more likely to happen this year. A new report out by a staffing firm finds three-quarters of companies plan to give employees a cash bonus. That's up from 67% last year. So in lieu of the final trades, we have asked the traders which stock they would buy with that extra cash. Tim,
well, inherent in a bonus to me is something I want to actually be somewhat conservative on. I don't want to blow it. Maybe, you know, maybe Dave treats his bonus differently. But Unilever, UN, because, I mean, when I think about a company that is not going to hurt me, and granted, by the way, top line not growing, except for the fact that after being a darling stock because it was a div play, it's pulled all the way back to below its 15-year historical to the S&P, gives you 3.5 dividend yield. Bottom of a range has been tested multiple times in the last 5 years. It's Unilever. It's not going to run away from the pack, but it's cheap at this point relative to itself.
How do you treat your bonus, David?
Make a lot of money with it. Now, OLED, which is Universal Display, is a stock we've talked about a lot on the show. Universal Display is the key IP and the sort of key ingredients with these OLED screens. iPhone is going to be launching that new OLED screen in their phone in 17. It's going to be a big upgrade cycle because of the install base being so low at iPhone. This is going to be a stock that works out. I think it could drift up toward $100.
Steve?
Square. I'm a Dorsey guy. I'm losing on Twitter, down 50% year-to-date. Square is up 6% year-to-date. I bought it. I actually bought more. I added to position. I love the angle of Square Financial. I think it's very interesting going forward.
Gee.
My bonus is getting to spend time with you good people here, like Leonardo DiCaprio and Titanic.
Okay.
Remember the scene. MasterCard. Because you're going to spend your money. That's you can spend it with plastic, sister.
All right. That does it for us here on Fast. See you back here Monday at 5. Meantime, Options Action starts right after the break. Stay tuned.